there's an amazing statement in the Talmud in the Sechta Taini 29, which is worth pondering as we approach Yom Yerushalayim. The Talmud says in Taini 29 that Churban Bayit Rishon and Churban Bayit Sheni both took place on a Sunday. But on both days, the Levites who were on duty to the last minute, every day they sang a different psalm, right? Today they sang what? Hayom Yom Rishon. So they should have been singing the Yom Rishon psalm, but they made a boo-boo and they sang Yom Revi'i psalm. Psalm 94, Kael Nekomos Hashem. God of vengeance appear. Both times they messed up. Because Churban Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni both took place on Yom Rishon. So Talmud and Taina says both days, despite being Yom Rishon when the Churban happened, they made a boo-boo and they sang Yom Revi'i. Wednesday. What's so fantastic about Wednesday? Flash forward 2,000 years from the Churban Bayis, 1938 years, when the IDF recaptured the Temple Mount, and they said, Har HaBayit B'Yudeinu. Remember those famous words? What day of the week was it?
Wednesday.
Coinkidinky? Unbelievable. So the Levites 2,000 years ago, and even earlier, because the first Churban was in 586, 2,586 years ago, the Levites sang Wednesday's song, anticipating that Kael Nekomot Hashem, God will take revenge for all that spilled Jewish blood. And on a Wednesday, in the distant future, the Yidden will come back to the Temple Mount and recapture it. It happened to be a Wednesday. So both days, even though the Churban was Yom Yishon, the Levites sang the Psalm of Wednesday, which is Psalm 94, Kael Nekomot Hashem. Pretty amazing. The question is, why could the IDF, well, there was no IDF, was there in 1948, we couldn't capture Yerushalayim in 1948? Why? There were such miracles in 1948, why couldn't we capture the city then? There's a pasuk in Shir HaMalot leDavid, Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra yachdav. Yerushalayim can only be rebuilt when chubra yachdav, when all the Yidden are what? Together. In 1948, there was not yachdav. There's plenty of chairs over there. Oh, you can't get there. Those are the reserved chairs. That's reserved. That's for the VIPs. Right? That's for the PhDs, right? Papa has dough. PhD? Right? Never heard that? Papa have dough. So where were we? Yerushalayim can only be united, says King David in Psalm, when Ir Keshechubra Yachtav, when all the Yidden are united. In 1948, there was no Achtav. There was Irgun, there was Etzel, there was Stern Gang, there was Haganah. Only in 1967, when there was what? Only one IDF. When we were all united, we were Zoicha to Baruch Hashem get Yerushalayim. Had to wait 19 years, right? From 1948 to 67. When the Yidden were finally Churba Yachdav, and one Sahal, and we were able to what? Capture the city. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zatzal, said that you don't have to go to Kibrit Tzadikim. Where should you go? Har Herzl. That's what he said. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, not Rav Kook. That better than going to Kibrit Tzadikim, the greatest Tzadikim are all the soldiers buried in Har Herzl. Any soldier, religious or not, who gives his life for Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael is a kadosh, holier than any Kibrit Tzadikim. So said Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Pretty amazing. But some people say, don't confuse me with the facts. Pretty interesting, huh? Now, where does the name Yerushalayim come from? Why is it called Yerushalayim? So Tosfot says in Masechta Tainis, page 16, it's a combination of two names. At the Akedah, Avram called the mountain Har Hashem Yeroeh. The mountain where God, Yeroeh, will be seen. Three times a year when the Jews come up to the Har HaBayis, they come to be seen by their Father in heaven. So Avram called the mountain Yeroeh, the place where God will be seen, Yeroeh. And he also called it Yireh, where God will see. The pilgrims coming. And Malki Tzedek had already called the city Shalem. So to pay homage to these great tzaddikim, said Tosfot, God took the name Yireh, or Yeroeh. God sees and God will be seen. God sees the pilgrims coming three times a year and will be seen by the pilgrims. And the city was already called, Malki Tzedek called the city Shalem. So God combined the two, Yireh Shalem, to pay respect to these two great tzaddikim. What? Yireh. Okay, I'm not there yet. But before we get to that, we have to ask another kasha. Who came first? Who named the city first, Shirley? Malki Tzedek. Back in Genesis 14, Malki Tzedek called the city Shalem. It wasn't until Genesis 22 where Abraham renamed the place Yeroeh. So Malki Tzedek named the city first. It should have been called Shalem Yeroeh. Right? Malki Tzedek was Abraham's great-great-grandpa, right? We come from Shem. Who's Malki Tzedek? He was Shem ben Noach, right? Malki Tzedek means my king is righteous. We'll see soon why that's what he called himself. My king is righteous. Who's my king? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But anyway, he's Shem ben Noach. He was Abraham's great-great-grandpa. So he named the city Shalem. So why didn't God call the city Shalem Yeroeh? Instead, he called it Yeroeh Shalem. He liked Abraham better, right? Is that playing favorites?
Yes.
Yes. So I want to say my humble opinion that you can't have Shalem if you don't have fear of God. Yeroeh means, it means to see, but it's the same Shorish as Yirat Hashem. Yireh means to see, and Yireh also means the fear of God. Because when you see an awesome sight, you get the fear of God. The same word in Hebrew. Yireh, Yirat Hashem, Yirat Shemayim, and to see God. So I want to say, you can't have peace unless there's fear of God first. So first you have to have the name Yeroeh, or Yireh, and only then when you have fear of Hashem, only then can you have what? Shalem, proper Shalem. Is it amazing in this week's parasha, in Parshas B'chukosai, it's amazing that this week's parasha of Shmuel always falls out during the Six-Day War. This parsha that we read always falls out during Melchemet Sheshet HaYomim, Yom Yerushalayim. We know the coincidences. There are no such thing. In this week's parasha, it speaks about the Six-Day War. It says 100 IDF soldiers will chase down 10,000. We read it yesterday. Yesterday. One male mikem yerdofu ravava. 100 of you will pursue 10,000. Says Rashi, shelo kederech hateva. It's not normal. And I want to tell you that what took place this season, it always comes out, B'chukosai, the sixth day was a greater miracle. You could look it up in the Jerusalem Post. The Pasuk says 100 IDF soldiers will conquer Ravava. What's Ravava? 10,000. You know who conquered Hebron, which was 50,000 Arabs then? Rav Shlomo Goren and his driver. You could look it up. So that's two pursuing 50,000. This is all documented. Hebron was conquered, then it had 50,000 terrorists. Today there's 100,000 terrorists. But then there were 50,000 terrorists conquered, captured, pursued by Rav Shlomo Goren and his Jeep driver. This is all documented. He drove up to the city of Hebron with a Sefer Torah. And his driver had a machine gun on the Jeep. They all took out their white bed sheets. From all the windows, they started flapping the white bed sheets. So I'm telling you, Shmuel, it's a greater nest than the Pasuk. The Pasuk says 100 will capture 10,000. This was two Yidden and a Sefer Torah capturing 50,000. Eizen nisim in the flot which is already foretold in Parshas B'chukosai. And this is exactly the week it always comes out. Again, there can be no coincidences. Eze Nisim in the floor took place. The Arabs were terrified in Hebron. Why, Reb Aaron? They remember 1929. And they knew what they would do to us if the shoe would be on the other foot. Oh, they knew. They didn't know we would give them a gletale. They were petrified and terrified. So they surrendered to Rav Gorin, the driver in the Sefer Torah. Rav Gorin called up Rabin, you know, on the radio. Please send me some guys. I've captured the whole city for you. Well, Shlofin, what are you doing here? Eze Nisim in the flood. That was the time that Mashiach was Pischili, what does he say? Rayati. Kol Doldi Dofek. Rav Gorin writes in his autobiography, he begged Dayan, now is the Shas HaKosher. Let's dynamite that big pimple and build a Beis HaMikdash. And Gorin said, be quiet or I'll throw you in jail for incitement. Dayan. That's right. Mashiach was knocking on the door. Kol Doldi Dofek, Shir HaShirim, and we slammed the door shut. Unbelievable. There was such magic in the air. You remember that magic in the air there was? What?
I said many of them might not, but we...
They weren't born yet. So anyway, so Yerushalayim. So now, Mrs. Ziegler, Tosas asked you a question. It's 667 times and 664 times, there's plenty of chairs there, 664 times it's written Yerushalam. Yerushalam. Only three times it's written Yerushalayim. Tosfos says the Yud doesn't belong there because Shalem is spelled without a Yud. So we want to emphasize it's a city of Shalem. So therefore we don't write it with the Yud. 664 out of 667 times the word is written Yerushalam without the U to emphasize the city of what?
Peace.
City of peace. So now Mrs. Ziegler asked a question that Tosfos doesn't ask, but we have to ask. If it's written Yerushalam, why do we pronounce it Yerushalayim? Right?
Right.
Have a seat, Bakasham. You can't see.
Can't see? I'll move.
Those are the bleachers. This is the reserved seats. So you got to get a refund, Avram. You got to get a refund because those are the 75-cent seats. That's what the bleachers used to cost in Yankee Stadium. I remember. I couldn't afford a reserved seat. It's $350. So we sat in the bleachers with binoculars. And we brought suntan lotion. And we enjoyed Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. I'm dating myself. Anyway, where were we? So why do we pronounce the word Yerushalayim when it's written Yerushalam? Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, right? So the answer is, in Hebrew, the Patach Yud Mem makes the word what? Plural. Oznayim, Yodayim, Raglayim, Einayim, Ayin, Einayim. Ozen, Oznayim, Regel, Raglayim, Yad, Yodayim. The Patach Yud Mem in Hebrew makes the word plural. Dual. So you know why we pronounce it Yerushalayim? Says the Ramban, quoting a Midrash. Because there are two Yerushalayims. There's a Yerushalayim Milmala, Mechuvan, Keneged Yerushalayim Milmata, says the great Ramban, quoting a Bereshis Rabbah. There's two Jerusalems. There's the heavenly Jerusalem, which directly parallels the earthly Jerusalem. And just like God's eternal capital is the heavenly Jerusalem, Israel's eternal capital is the earthly Jerusalem, despite what John Kerry says and Abu Mamzer. So we have to say Yerushalayim, right? The heavenly Jerusalem is God's eternal capital, and the earthly Jerusalem is what? Israel's eternal capital forever. And therefore, we pronounce the word Yerushalayim, even though it's spelled Jerusalem. Pretty interesting. Now, the place is also called Har Moriah, right? In Divrei Hayomim, the Temple Mount is called Har Moriah. Why is it called Har Moriah? Eretz HaMoriah on the Akedah. Eretz HaMoriah. In Divrei Hayomim, God calls the place Har HaMoriah. Why is Temple Mount called Har HaMoriah? So Unkelus says that of the 11 herbs and spices, remember the kernel? That's where he got it from. Twice a day, the Kohanim would burn 11 herbs and spices. You think it's a coinkydinky KFC? The colonel looked like a mashgiach there, the white beard, and he wore a white kapata there, the colonel, right? Colonel Sanders. I think the 11 herbs and spices, the strongest smell was the myrrh. Thank you, myrrh. Says Unkelus, it's called Har Moriah, the mountain of the perfume. Mount Moriah, from the word, the strongest, sweetest smell of the 11 was the myrrh. I think today it's called Chanel No. 5 or Jovan, very strong, delicious smell. And that stood out among the 11 herbs and spices. So Unkelus says, the mountain of perfume. And the Talmud in Yuma said, if you lived here 2,000 years ago, you never had to buy your wife Chanel or Charlie. You never had to buy Right Guard either. Because the entire city, Avram, was inundated with the delicious smell of what? Of the myrrh. Twice a day, Reuven, they burned these heavy incense. And the whole city, said the Talmud in Yuma, all the way to Yericho, if the wind was blowing in the right, even if you lived in Jericho, you didn't have to buy your wife what? Charlie. Remember Charlie? Chanel No. 5. If the wind was blowing in the right direction. That's how the psamim, the kitoret asamim, was such a strong, delicious smell that the entire city of Jerusalem was covered by this delicious smell. So Mount Moriah, the mountain of perfume. What? The mountain of kitores, nachon?
Torah.
What? Oh, so now nachomer, now that's another teretz. Tosis gives that teretz too. Also, Mount Moriah, Hashem Shemeni Yotze Morah Lo'ov D'Kachovim. Yotze Morah. What does Morah mean? Fear or teaching, right? That was where the Sanhedrin sat. The Sanhedrin sat on, thank you very much. The Sanhedrin sat on Temple Mount in Lishkat HaGozer. You know where that black dome is today? Not the gold dome. But that black dome, that was the Lishkat HaGozer. That's where the Sanhedrin sat. And they paskin shilas, so it's Mount Moriah Yotze Hara'ah, the mountain of instruction. The mountain where teaching, more, can I go to the bathroom? More, the mountain where teaching comes out to the world, and that's another reason why it was called Mount Moriah. Why it was called Mount Moriah? But now we have to understand why Yerushalayim, if it's so important, why it's not mentioned even once in the entire Chumash. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, chapter 45, gives three reasons why Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Chumash. He says in Mor Nevuchim, Perik Mem Hei, Madu la yiskiru beperish batorah, elo nirmaz, the Torah hints to it, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Unkel says Shalem, Yerushalayim. How come the Torah just doesn't come out at the center of the universe? And the Ramban says in Parshas Lech Lecha, why was he called Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem? Malki Tzedek. So he quotes a Medrash Rabbah, Hamokom Hazeh Matzdik Et Yoshvav. Whoever lives in Jerusalem has Matzdik Mazeh. Hamokom Hazeh Matzdik Et Yoshvav. It gives merit to those who live here. Yeah. You live in Jerusalem, you're already called a Tzadik. So therefore, Malki Tzedek, anyone who lives in Jerusalem automatically has that title. So says the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. Pretty amazing. That's why the prices here are so expensive. Very expensive here. Right? You know the story. This Hasidish Rebbe, there was this Yid, the Hasidish Rebbe was sitting by Shalashidis, and a strimal was hanging. And this Yid, the Prusta Yid, reached through the window and he grabbed the strimal to steal it. So the Rebbe said, Tzadik, Betunish Gambinen. Tzadik, Betunish Gambinen. Tzadik, you're not allowed to steal. He says, Rebbe, you're a tzaddik, and if I'm a tzaddik, let's make a shidduch. I have a daughter, and you have a son. We're both tzaddikim, let's make a shidduch. So the Rebbe said, I'll be b'shadach with tzaddikim, my tzaddikim, and you'll be b'shadach with your tzaddikim. Bugsy Siegel, Louis Lepke, Mayor Lansky, you have your tzaddikim, I have my tzaddikim. We can't mix the tzaddikim. But anyway, anyone who lives in Jerusalem is automatically, according to Ramban, has some degree of merit. But why is Jerusalem not mentioned in the Chumash? The Rambam gives three reasons. He says, "Achas kedosh lechziku bo amim lechama olam lechama kasha kasha yodu shamokoy mazeh matarat haTorah b'chol olam." He says the nations of the world, they knew the importance of Jerusalem. You ever wonder why you go on the Temple Mount and you start davening, the Arabs go ballistic? Why should they care? Why do they get so nervous? They know that this is the center of the universe. They believe. So he said, the Umas HaOlam knew that the Yerushalayim is the center of the universe. And there would be a world war in the Middle East to capture Yerushalayim. That's the gateway. Didn't Yaakov Avinu say, Zeh Shaar HaShamayim? That's the gateway to heaven. The nations know that. The Arabs know that. It's a gateway to heaven. So if the place will be mentioned, says Rambam, there'd be a world war among all the nations. So therefore, God doesn't mention it in the Chumash. Vashenit, he says, the second reason. Because if you mention Yerushalayim, that the Canaanites who live here, despite us, they will do a scorched earth policy. They will destroy the whole city and make it uninhabitable. And therefore, Yerushalayim is not mentioned, because he said the 31 kings in Canaan who lived here, they would sabotage the place, make it uninhabitable. So therefore, what? The Torah doesn't mention it. Vahashlishit, he says.
It
was only conquered by David HaMelech. What? By David HaMelech. Yes. Sorry. But why could we see? How come Yeshua Ben Nun couldn't conquer it? We're going to get to it. How come Yeshua Ben Nun couldn't conquer it? We're going to get to that. Why did it have to wait until David HaMelech? We'll get to that, Nachama. Okay? The second reason is that the Canaanites should not destroy it out of spite. And the third reason, says the Rambam, Muyota Cheshuva, why Yerushalayim is not mentioned where? In the Chumash? Kedei shelo yevakesh kol shevet sheyezoi v'nachlosav yichpoish oto. V'yesh shom machloikis v'ketata kemo shebedrishat kuhuna ayedei Korach. You hear the Rambam is saying? If Yerushalayim we mentioned in the Chumash, all the tribes would what? Fight over it. Look what happened with the Kohuna, how Korach, Moshe's, they weren't kissing cousins. Korach was Moshe and Aaron's first cousin. And there was such ketata, machlok is there, can you imagine, says Rambam, Yerushalayim, the gateway to heaven, all the tribes would what? Would fight over it, it's mine, mine, it's mine, so therefore it's not mentioned. And therefore the Rambam says, therefore, there was no tzivu to build a Beis HaMikdash until after what? A king was set up. Because before you have a king, the tribes were not united. There was bickering constantly. The Mikdash, Yerushalayim should be mine. Only when there was a king who united the tribes were they able to what? Build the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So to avoid the bickering and the fighting like over the Kohuna, like Korah, therefore, Yerushalayim is what? Not mentioned in the Torah. So the Rambam gives these three reasons. In my humble opinion, I want to give another reason, if you allow me to. Okay? In my humble opinion, the reason why Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Chumash is because if you look at the end of Ezekiel, where he describes Mashiach and the Third Temple, He says that the name of Yerushalayim will change. And the name will be Hashem Shama. Or Hashem Shema. We don't know yet how to spell it. We'll talk about it. There are no dots in a Torah scroll. He said Yerushalayim will change, and the name will be either Hashem Shema or Hashem Shema. Shema or Sham. So we'll read what these words mean. But this one, anyway, it says in Yechezkel, the very last pasuk in Yechezkel, that when Mashiach comes, the name of the city will be, the way we have it spelled in Arnach, Hashem Shama. Hashem is over there, over there. Hashem Shama, Shin Mem Hei means from the root Sham. God is over there. The Talmud Bavasa, page 75, says it can also be read, and no dots in the Tanakh, Hashem Shema. Hashem is her name. So either we have it spelled Hashem Shema, God is over there. And the Talmud says you can also read it, Hashem Shema, God is her name. That the name of the city of Jerusalem will be Hashem Shema. God is its name. That God's name will be the name of the city. So get the tikpeks ready. All those envelopes that says Yerushalayim on it from the Iriyah. You need a lot of tikpeks. I think it's called tikpeks, no?
Yeah, that's right.
You'll have to change it to Hashem Shema. So that's why, in my humble opinion, the name Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Chumash, because the name is destined to change, to protect the innocent. Remember it also? Change the name to protect the innocent? I'm dating myself. Now, how does Yechezkel know Dragnet? To protect the name? Joe Friday, Dragnet, right? Protect the name, protect the innocent. The name will change, so therefore Yerushalayim cannot be in the Chumash, because that won't be its final name. The name will be Hashem Shema or Hashem Shama. God is over there, or God is its name. Now, how does Yechezkel know that? Everything in Tanakh has to have a source where? In the Chumash. Getting back to Yerushalayim, the heavenly and the earthly, just like a human being has a guf and a neshama. Human being is made up of the heavenly and the earthly, the guf and the neshama. So Yerushalayim is also, there's a heavenly Yerushalayim, the neshama, and there's a physical Yerushalayim, the guf, and you can't have one without the other. Just like a human being is a combination of the guf and the neshama, so is the city of Yerushalayim, the heavenly and the earthly. But getting back to, how does Yechezkel know this? Everything in Tanakh has to have what? A source in the Chumash. So I think I found the source. In Devarim Yud Bet, in Parshas Re'eh, the pasuk says, Ki im el hamakom ashe yifchar Hashem elokeichem mikol shifteichem losum eshimo sham ubata shama. Deuteronomy 12 in Parshas Re'eh, God says, Imel ha-mokoyim, you should come to the place. Ha-mokoyim. Asher yifchar Hashem, elekeichem, which Hashem your God will choose. Mikol shifteichem, from all of your tribes. Losum eshimo sham, to place his name over there. Ubata shama. Shin mem hei, the exact words written in Yechezkel. You shall come Shama, over there. So again, the Torah is hinting that Yerushalayim will have a new name. The new name will be Shama. Exactly what the last verse in Yechezkel says, that the name will be Shama, there, or Shema, as the Talmud and Bava Basra says. So that's why the name is not in the Chumash, but the name Shama is in the Chumash, and that will be what? The new name in the Messianic era. Amazing, Shama. That God is there. Of Shama or Shema, that God is there, unlike the first two times where he left, or the Shekhinah, when we got kicked out. This time he's here for good. And also he puts his name on the city. Shema or Shema. The Talmud Basra says, Hashem Shema. God is her name. That God will identify himself with the city permanently. It will never be destroyed like it was the first two times. And perhaps that's why the city is not what, the Yerushalayim is not written where? In the Torah. In the Torah.
But this one's also hinted.
Well, hinted. Bata Shama.
Both are hinted.
Shama. Shalem, Shama. Right? Now, Nechama's question, how come Yeshua ben Nun could not conquer Yerushalayim? He knocked off the 31 kings. It says there's a Yavusi Yoshve Yerushalayim lo yecholu b'nei Yehuda. They couldn't conquer Yerushalayim in the days of Yeshua until Dovid HaMelech came. Until Dovid HaMelech came, they couldn't conquer Yerushalayim. Why? Beautiful. Mrs. Ziegler, you're ahead of me. This is written the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer, what you just said. Since Abraham made a treaty with Avimelech, he made a treaty with Avimelech, and there's an amazing pasuk. If you look in Shmuel, it says as follows. Why couldn't they conquer Yerushalayim? They couldn't conquer Yerushalayim. Why? Because they said, if you look at Shmuel Bet, chapter 5, the Canaanites who lived there, they said, Vayoyim el David, Loi savoy heina, you can't come here, ki mesircho ibim apischim, unless you remove the statues of the blind and the lame. Lema loyova David heina, David, you can't come here. Who are the statues of the blind and the lame? In Shmuel Bet Perik Hey, who are the statues of the blind and the lame? Who are they? Says Rashi, who are they? Incredible. Rashi says, the people that lived here were the descendants of Avimelech. And they had two statues at the gate of Jerusalem. Echot Iver, the Echot Piseach. Who was the blind one? Yitzchak Avinu was blind. Who was the lame one? Yaakov. And in the mouth of these two statues, they wrote an oath and they stuck it in the mouth. What did they write? The oath of Abraham gave to Avimelech. Abraham made a peace treaty with the king of the PLO. Then instead of Arafat, he was called Avimelech. And therefore, they were not able to conquer the city. Because Abraham had made an oath to Avimelech that he will not attack them, to give them rights to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Oslo Treaty 3,800 years ago, the Rashbam says something incredible. Right after Abraham made a treaty with Avimelech, that he achad vormele, v'lehim nisat Avraham. After these things, God tortured Abraham with the Akedah, says the Rashbam, because Abraham made a peace treaty with Avimelech, the king of the PLO, to grant him rights in Eretz Yisrael, says the Rashbam. Therefore, God tortured Abraham, the mental anguish 3 days, thinking that he would have to what? Kill his son. Why did he deserve that pain and anguish, says the Rashbam, for making an Oslo peace treaty with the king of the Palestinians 3,800 years ago? And that promise, that oath, says Rashi, in Shmuel Bet Perik Hey, they mocked us. They set up a statue of the blind. The blind one was Yitzchak. Yitzchak was blind when he was old. And the lame one was Yaakov. And in the mouth they stuck the Shvuah that Abraham made to Avimelech, and therefore they were not able to what? To conquer the city. But later on, but he made a promise, Lenini Vilanechti. How long was the treaty going to last? Lenini Vilanechti. Mazenin in Hebrew. Great-grandson. But when Yoav came along, the grandchildren were already dead. The oath was canceled. So David was able to conquer Yerushalayim. So isn't that incredible? Because of Abraham's treaty to Avimelech, the king of the PLO, Yeshua ben Nun was not able to conquer Yerushalayim. What we do has what?
Consequences.
Ramifications down the road. Right? So Abraham made this oath, and therefore Yerushalayim could not be captured until the days of David HaMelech. Incredible. Because of the Shvua, Be'er Sheva, the well of swearing, right? That Abraham made a treaty with Avimelech, and he had no right to do that, so God punished him, says the Rashbam, by giving him what? The anguish of the Akedah for 3 days, thinking that he would have to what? Kill his only son.
Where's the Rashbam
saying? The Rashbam in Pashas Vayera. Look at the Rashbam, it's incredible. Right after Abraham makes a peace treaty with Avimelech, it says, after these things, and God tested Abraham, take your son and kill him. Right before that, it's written, Abraham made a peace treaty with Avimelech, the king of the Palestinians. So the Rashbam says, when we make deals with our enemies to give away our precious land, it leads to Akedah. What does Akedah remind you of? Blood. Fire. Look how prophetic the Rashbam was. When we give our precious land to our deadly enemies, it leads to Akedah. It leads to terrorism, bombings. Unbelievable. If only our leaders would have read that Rashbam before they went to Oslo. How many Yidden were murdered? How many were maimed? How many thousands of Yidden were murdered and maimed because of Oslo? Because they didn't read that Rashbam. The more we try to placate our enemies, giving away our precious land, says Rashbam, it leads to more Akedah. Akedah, what's Akedah? Blood, smoke, fire. And torn limbs. That's the Akedah. Harold, isn't that a cool... The Rashbam was no Navi, was he? He wrote this 1,000 years ago. How many Akedahs did we have since Oslo? How many? Unbelievable. Now, let's talk a little bit about Ruth. You know, Yom Yerushalayim is exactly a week before Shavuos. Why was she called Ruth? Why was she called Ruth? Ruth is from the Shoresh. Ruth is from the Shoresh Reut. Reut in Hebrew means what? Friendship. Right? Wasn't she a friendly person? Especially to a mother-in-law. Usually a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, not so friendly, usually, you know. Henny Youngman used to say, I just came back from a pleasure trip. I just drove my mother-in-law to the airport. So it wasn't, it's a good one, right? Henny Youngman, right? Pleasure trip. So Reut, she was a friendly person to a mother-in-law, which is usually not, what? Well, friendly. Pretty amazing, huh?
That's why she was the mother of the Mashiach.
That's why she was the mother. She was Mevater. She was a Vatran. A mother-in-law. She was a princess. Mother-in-law said, become a beggar. She gave up her princeship in Moab to become a beggar for her mother-in-law.
That was good.
Huh?
What a madrega.
What a madrega. Now, Ruth. Who's good in gematria here? Ruth. Resh, Vav, Tav is gematria how much?
606.
Right? Resh is 200, Vav is 6, Tav is
406.
That's right, yeah.
When she became a Geyoris, she took upon herself 606. Because she already had 7. Keep the 7, go to heaven. Every non-Jew already has 7 mitzvot. When she became a Yidina, she was took on Ruth. Don't you get it? She took on another 606. 606 plus 7, which she already had. That's the Taryag mitzvot. Right? On Shavuos morning, we'll be reading the Ten Commandments. If you count the letters there, there's 620 letters. 620 Gematria Keter, the crown of Torah. Right? Keter is Gematria Gawat. 620. Kaf. Taf. Resh, Keter in Hebrew. Crown is Gematria Yawad, 620. What? Kaf is 20, Taf is what? 400. And yeah, so it's 620, yes? Okay. So if you count the letters of the Ten Commandments, I'll be reading on Shavuos morning, there's 620 letters. So the Baal Turim says why. Each letter represents what? 613 Torah mitzvahs and the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs. Even the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs are represented by what? A letter in the what? In the Ten Commandments. Each letter corresponds to a mitzvah, and even the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs are represented by a letter, so there's exactly 620 letters if you count the letters in the Ten Commandments. Right? What are the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs? Right? What? Friday night candles, Megillah, Chanukah, Purim, saying Hallel, Brachot, Erevin. Yeah, making Erevin, right? Right. Those are the 7, right? Shabbos, Friday night candles, Chanukah candles, Purim, Netilas Yadayim, making Brachos, saying Hallel, and Eruv. Sechta Erevin, Daf Yomi's learning. That's a rabbinic mitzvah to make an Eruv so you'll be able to carry. So even the rabbinic mitzvahs are represented by what? By a letter in the Ten Commandments. What does the word Eruv mean? To combine. You make an Eruv, you're saying that my living room and the street are what? Combined, mingled. Right? Are combined.
But what if you take Ruth and Keter?
Yeah.
And add them together.
Yeah, how much you
get?
Divide
them by 2.
What do you get?
613.
Ooh. Huh? That's right. That's right. Ruth, 606, Keter, 620. And dividing by 2, you get the Tayag. You get Tayag.
Why?
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
What?
What?
What? What? What?
Keter.
Pretty interesting. Now, we're talking about Gematria. Root comes from Moav. Moav, right? Mo, how do you spell Moav? Mem, Vav. Yeah, how much is that Gematria?
49.
She came from Memphis Shari Tuma. Moab was worse than Las Vegas. It made Las Vegas look like a kindergarten. Moab, the symbol of immorality and Zanus, Moab Gematria Memphis Shari Tuma, and she became the grandmother of the Melech HaMashiach. Pretty amazing, huh? 46, 7, 49. It works. Pretty amazing, huh? How could that happen? Huh? There's a pasuk in Iyov, Reb Aaron. Mi yitain tohar mitamei. Who's able to extract, Avraham, the pure from the impure? That's what Iyov asked. Who's he talking about? Ruth the Moabite. Coming out of the red light district and becoming the grandmother of the Melech HaMashiach. Mi yiten tohor mitamei. Only God can do that. That's right. Job wasn't even Jewish, right? Now, in the Pasha that we read yesterday, it says, Eila chukim ha-mishpatim v'ha-torot asher nosan Hashem b'har Sinai b'yad Moshe. So Rashi said, it should have said v'ha-torah. Hakman said v'ha-torot in the plural, in yesterday's reading. So Rashi said, why did it say HaTorot? Because we got 2 Torahs. Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebapeh. Magid Shekulam Nitnu Bahar Sinai. On Shavuos we got 2 Torahs. So it says, Parashat Bechukosai, VaHaTorot, not VaHaTorah. Okay? So God gave us 2 Torahs. The Medrash says, in Zois HaBrocha, before God came to us, He went to the UN and the EU to offer the Torah. The EU also. European Union, Tony Blair. The rest of the UN to offer. And they all rejected him, Michael. They all rejected him. They said, get lost. Came to us. And he says, I have something good to offer you, Yidden. What's the first question that you asked?
How much does it cost?
And God said, it's free. So we said, Avram, we'll take 2. That's not a joke. That's why we got 2. If it's free, Shirley, we'll take 2. Avil de Metzia. That's right. But let me ask you, Harold, didn't God know the EU would turn him down? He knew the UN would turn him down. Can you imagine to be rejected 70 times? How many nations in the world were there?
70.
To be rejected 70 times, what's the message, Harold? Don't give up. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Hashem is giving us chizuk. If you get rejected, don't fall apart. God was rejected 70 times and he didn't give up. It's a message for us. It gives a person chizuk. That if you turn down, Michael, don't give up. Keep on plugging. That's the message. That's really the message, right?
It's not free anyway.
What?
That's why it wasn't free. You have a big responsibility. Okay.
But I mean, we didn't pay money for it. What did we pay for it? We paid in blood, what? Yeah. Hmm? Okay. So anyway, why we have two Torahs? Go ahead. You got a question?
Somewhere in Midrash I was reading yesterday, it said the tablets that Hashem used, the flame from the sun.
It wasn't the tablets that you get in the computer tablets.
No, I'm talking about in the stones.
Oh,
Hashem used the power of the sun to write the letters on the stone.
I don't know. Fire. I don't know, but it was fire. It was Esh Lavan. We spoke about that, right? The fire, Rashi Zoysa Bracha says, the Torah, Esh Chora al Esh Levana, and the Torah is given Metocha Esh. We explained last week why. But Eila Chukim v'amishpatim v'hatorot. The Medrash says, Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Every statement Harold in the Talmud has to have what? A source in the Chumash. How does the Medrash know Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah? My humble opinion, it's yesterday's reading. Eila chukim v'hamishpatim v'hatorot. The word mishpatim refers to what? Ben odam lechaveroi. And that's written before hatorot. Yeah, it is, Reb Shmuel. My humble opinion, the word v'hamishpatim, which always refers to ben odam lechaveroi, that's written before v'hatorot. So perhaps that's how the Medrash knows derech eretz, mishpatim, ben odom lechaveroi, that precedes what? The Torah. Pretty amazing. V'hatorot. Now, interesting. Of the two Torahs, which one is more beloved to Hashem?
The oral.
The oral, you're right. Yishalmi Peah, Perik Bet, says, Torah shel bal peh, chaviva yoter mitorah shebiktav. That the oral Torah is more beloved to God than the written Torah. Yishalmi Peah. Why? What? Because the written Torah, even Billy Graham can read it. Remember Billy Graham, Olav HaSholem? I think he just died. Didn't kick the bucket? He's still around. He's still cashing in. The written Torah, anybody can open up and read it. But the oral Torah, Harold, says the Talmud Yishalmi, the oral Torah is that's like the secret lovey-dovey talk between two lovers. When two lovers love each other, they're secret names. Honey Bunch, Sugar Pie, Honey Bunch, Cupcake. We don't want the UN and Billy Graham in on it. So therefore, says Yishalmi Peah, it's supposed to be kept oral. But Nebuch, we got verstopped the cups, right? We didn't take our spirulina, so we started to, got to give a plug there. We started to forget, so Rebbe had no choice but to what? It helps the memory, by the way. Rebbe had to write it down. But ideally, it should have remained oral, because two lovers have their lovey-dovey intimate talk. We don't want the Billy Grahams of the world to butt in. So even when Rebbe wrote it down, it's written in such a curt, is that the right way?
Terse.
Thank you, Ruben. That without an oral teacher, you don't know what it says there. The Talmud is written so terse. It's mamish disguised. That without an oral teacher, you don't know what it says there. Why is it written that way? Cover up! The Vatican orders art scroll. I'm not joking. The Vatican orders every art scroll Talmud. So they read it there. What are they reading over there? It's, some stories are like bizarre. It's bizarre. Why did they write it that way? cover up. We don't want the Vatican to know what it really says. For that, you need an oral teacher. Tradition, tradition. What it really says. The story, behind the story. So therefore, the Mishnah, the Talmud, is written so tersely and sometimes bizarrely. That was done on purpose, Michael. We don't want them to butt in. Okay, had to be written down. Ein breira. Ein breira. I'll tell you a big chiddush. Why do we read Rut B'chag Matan Torah? So everybody has a reason. I'll give you a reason. I don't give the regular reason. Why do you read Rut B'chag Matan Torah? Okay, everyone knows the standard reason, right? In the written Torah, it's written Lo Yovai Amoini Umayovi Bekal Hashem. Deuteronomy 23. If you only got the written Torah, Ruth never could have become Mrs. Boaz. Never. Because it says, Devarim 23, a person from Ammon and Moab cannot marry into the Jewish people. According to that, Ruth could never, ever marry Boaz. If all you got was the written Torah, King David never would have been born. Right? But thank God we got the Torah Shebaal Peh. That gave a pitoron labaya. What's the pitoron labaya? Sheishachal rak al mayavi velo mayavit. Tractate Yevamos, page 76, comes along. Reb Moshe clarifies that when the Torah says Ammon and Moav cannot marry into the Yidden, that's only mayavi velo mayavit. You listening? So one minute, so we read Megillat Rut on Chag Matan Torah. Because Megillat Rut is a dugma. Shebechag Shvuot kibalnu gam Torah Shabapeh. Which is the Iker. So we read Chag Matan Torah Megillat Rut. Megillat Rut demonstrates that Avram, we got what? Because if we only got the written, she could never be Mrs. Boaz. And King David never would have been born, no Messiah. So by reading Megillas Ruth, we demonstrate that we got Moshe what? Torah Shabbat Peh too. Because only in Torah Shabbat Peh, Tractate Yevamos, does it say, Yisr Chal Rak Al Mayavi, Velo Mayavit. So to demonstrate that we also got the Torah Shabbat Peh, we read the book of Ruth. Because without the Torah Shabbat Peh, Ruth never would have been able to what? Marry Boaz, no Messiah. Can you imagine? First of all, it wasn't Yibum, Rabbi Aaron. It wasn't Yibum. Yibum was only with a brother. Yibum was only a brother. No Chalitza, believe him. People get confused. Boaz didn't have to marry Ruth. Only you have to marry a dead brother's widow with no kids. Machlon was not his brother, it was his cousin. There's no mitzvah of Yibum Avram with what? With a cousin. There's a mitzvah that we read yesterday in Vayikra Chof Hei, that if a poor relative is destitute and he can't afford to keep his field, there's a mitzvah for a rich relative to what?
Redeem
it. So Boaz was a nephew of Naomi. Naomi was destitute, she could not afford to keep her field. Right? So it's a mitzvah for Boaz to redeem what? Her field and the field of her dead son, which was Boaz's cousin. That's a mitzvah in the Torah, but there's no mitzvah to what? To marry Ruth. That he did as a chesed. Because he knew nobody would want to marry her. She's a former go-go dancer from Moab. And in Mea Shearim, they wouldn't make an index card for her. I don't think so. Who would want to marry her? He did an act of chesed, but he didn't have to marry her. The mitzvah is only to redeem the field.
Yeah, but Ram, you're not asking the question, because if we were given the two Torahs, then even Machlon's cousin should have known, because of Torah Shabbat Peh, that he could have married her.
That he could have married Ruth?
Yes, why didn't he?
Why
he didn't want to marry her.
Huh? We're going to talk about that next week. I hope you come. Don't steal my thunder. Next week's shiur is called Roots Field of Dreams. Better than Kevin Costner movie. Field of Dreams, Avram. Next week it's Ruth's field. See, Reuven, I'm taking the tumor that I had when I was a kid, and I'm elevating it. That's the tafkid of a yid, to bring it on home. Build it, they will come. Ruth's field of dreams. It's amazing. You count how many times the word field is written in the Megillus Rus, your head will spin. How many times the word sadeh, 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 sadeh. Over and over again, the word field is written in Megillat Rut. We're going to get there. Why? What the field? What's the field of dreams? Huh? Sadeh. What it means, why it keeps harping. Who wrote the book of Ruth? Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi, why he keeps writing the word sadeh? And why he keeps writing the word shame over and over again? That's a cliffhanger for next week. He keeps writing the word field over and over again. Keeps writing the word name. Nachamul and Nachamul and Nachamul. What's the connection between the name and the field? Field of dreams. Stay tuned until next week. Thank you very much. Shukoyach. Shukoyach. Thank you.